Evameva Shrutischa Paritya Lokan Karma Jitan Brahmano Nirvedam Ayan Nastya Kritena Iti. The Shruti also expresses the same idea. The Shruti is here the Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad says, after having traveled throughout all the worlds, which can be conquered by material work, karma jitan, jita means conquered, it's poetic. This is not kshatriya business, this is conquering worlds by your karma, by your punya karma. But karma jitan lokan. I say having traveled through all the worlds that can be conquered by material work. I think there's another version of this verse. It says pariksha lokan. And here it says paritya. But here we have paritya lokan, another version of it, where paritya would mean traveling to all these places, to all these different planets. The other version means observing all these planets. But after having traveled throughout all the worlds that can be conquered by material work, a person of broad intelligence should become disinterested, because the uncreated cannot be obtained by what is created. Okay, that will be explained in the commentary. Atrapi akrita ityasya visheshyam loka ityeva tatprasapte. Here, in this verse, the object described by uncreated, uncreated is an adjective. The noun that's modified by it is the world, the loka. Loka is mentioned in the verse. Pariksha lokan, after paritya lokan, after traveling to all these worlds, destinations. Karmichitan. So the uncreated is, not the material worlds, but the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, is uncreated. The uncreated is not achieved by the created. What do we mean by the uncreated? We mean the uncreated world, Vaikuntha. Here the object described by the word uncreated is the world, Vaikuntha itself, since that is implied in such statements of the Bhagavad Upanishad. What's the Bhagavad Upanishad? Bhagavad Gita. Okay. But he's calling Bhagavad Gita Bhagavad Upanishad. Gita Upanishad, yes. The Bhagavad Upanishad. Such statements. Let's see. Let's read the Sanskrit. Tatprasakti Ishvarak Sarvabhutanam Ityadau Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Tatprasadat Param Shantim Stanam Prapsyasi Shaswatam Iti Sri Bhagavat Upanishatsu. And he makes it plural, the Bhagavat Upanishads. Because that's in the colophon of each chapter of the Gita. It says, I think it's plural, Upanishatsu. Iti, at the end of each chapter, so ends the such and such chapter. And I think it says something, Upanishatsu. Brahma Vidyayam Upanishad, just Upanishatsu. Yes, it's not a verse, it's prose. It's just Upanishatsu by itself? Okay, so it's Bhagavad Gitasu, which is Upanishads. Sorry, Gitasu, the Gita is plural, because it's the 18 different chapters that he sung, plural. Well, there's only one Bhagavad Gita, but you can break it up into parts. Anyway, what does Bhagavad Upanishad say? Such statements of the Bhagavad Upanishad as that in the passage beginning, the Lord of all beings, Ishwarak Sarvabhutanam, Vidyeshe Arjuna Tishtati. And then it says, O scion of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Okay, the supreme and eternal abode. That's Vaikuntha. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Upanishad. What's a scion? Scion of Bharata. Sounds good, but what does it mean? I'm looking at the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary. Descendant. It first of all means a shoot or a twig of a plant. And then it means an heir, a descendant. That's a scion. Someone who inherits your property is the scion. Where are you looking? Okay. Okay. Yeah, offspring. But the first meaning is a shoot on a plant. Okay, Sri Bhagawan. That's the end of the undertrade. The verse under discussion, which is which? What was the verse in the beginning of the undertrade? The verses under discussion, Bhagavatam 11, 24, 12 through 14, were spoken by the personality of Godhead. And do you have those verses? How did they begin? At the beginning of 60.1. Yeah, and what? Oh yeah, okay, so the demigods have the Swarloka and some, you know, celibates get Maharajana Loka. But what is it? Madgatihi. Okay, my destination or my abode is what? Okay, but is achieved by bhakti yoga, not by any material means. That's the anuchid. Short commentary on this. The uncreated, indicated by the Mundaka Upanishad, is the infallible kingdom of Vaikuntha, which expands eternally from the energies of the original Supreme Lord's sibling, Baladev. Without labor, Lord Baladev expands the spiritual realm, which, unlike material creations, has no beginning or end. Sri Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishad spoken by Swayam Bhagavan himself, confirms that favored devotees of the Lord of all beings achieve sthanam shasvatam, an eternal place, not named but specified as eternal. And it's a place, sthanam. That's Vaikuntha. Okay. Now we discuss the other eight reasons why Vaikuntha is transcendental. Starting with 61, which is just one paragraph here. Papanchatitatvam. That Vaikuntha is beyond the material creation. That's the next reason. We cite a verse from Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter. Swadharma nishta shata janma bhik puman vidinchatam eti tatakparam himam avyakritam bhagavatota vaishnavam padam yataham vibhuta kalatyaye. A person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, he approaches me, Lord Shiva. But then a person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu in unalloyed devotional service is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. I and other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of this material world. This is Lord Shiva speaking.
I think to the Pachetas?
Yeah. To the Pachetas in chapter 24 of the fourth canto. Now, analysis of this verse by Jiva Goswami. Tato pi punyati shayena mam eti. By even greater piety than that, greater piety that gets you the position of Lord Brahma, by even greater piety than that, one comes to me, Lord Shiva. Doesn't say he becomes Lord Shiva. You can become Brahma, but you can't become Shiva. You can go to Shiva.
Okay?
Bhagavatas tvata dehante avyakritam nama rupe vyakaravani iti shruti prasiddha vyakarana vishayam prapanchati tam vaishnavam padam vaikuntam eti. So, this verse says that a devotee of the Supreme Lord, however, at the demise of his body, goes to the place of Vishnu. Vaikuntha. Vaishnavam Padam is the words in the verse. That means Vaikuntha, the place of Vishnu. And that place is undifferentiated. Avyakritam is in the verse. Undifferentiated. Vyakri means to separate different parts out. It can mean like to disassemble something, you take the parts, or to chemically analyze something by separating the components. That's vyakri, to separate out, analyze. And what is vyakarana? Maybe just analysis. But it's grammatical analysis. We speak in sentences. But in grammar, we take the sentences apart and look at the separate words and the parts of the words. That's grammatical analysis. That's what grammar is about. Taking the sentences apart and looking at the separate parts of the sentence. It's like anatomy. You take a dead body, you cut out the liver, and you cut the liver up and look inside it. That's analysis. So we take a sentence and cut it up, dissect it. That's grammar. That's called vyakarana, analysis. Anyway, this world, Vaikuntha, is avyakritam. It's undifferentiated. Nobody can cut it up into pieces and analyze it separately, the pieces of Vaikuntha. It's undifferentiated, which, according to Jiva Goswami, means not subject to the differentiation known from the statement of Shruti, let me differentiate names and forms. That should be capital B. Okay, now that's a statement from 27. From the Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter. Chandogya Upanishad is a big Upanishad. It's 50 times bigger than the Katha Upanishad. Or 30 times bigger, at least. Only one bigger than that is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which is about twice as big as that. But Chandogya Upanishad is big. The sixth chapter, there's a statement, the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, says, let me differentiate names and forms. Now that's describing the Lord at the beginning of the material creation. He wants to make material differentiation, create material names and forms. The spiritual names and forms are already there in the spiritual world. But that's Vyakarana. That's the Lord dividing up the material world and giving, although all the material world is combinations of the three modes. But with that three modes, like a lump of clay, you make something out of a lump of clay. You make a table out of clay, just a plate table, a little one this big, out of clay. It's just from a lump of clay, but you've made it into something and you gave it a name. You call it a table and sell it for 5 rupees. Like that, the Supreme Lord decides, let me make a material world. I'll take all this matter, three modes of nature, and make things out of it. Give these things names. I'll create forms and names. That's artificial, material creation. Vaikuntha is not composed like that. Vaikuntha, the variety of Vaikuntha was not created in such an artificial way, even by God, not by anybody. Vaikuntha is eternal. Nobody created it, even God, because it's always been there. It never was created, Vaikuntha. It's undifferentiated. It's not the way the material world is differentiated. Okay, or in other words, which is beyond the material creation, prapanchatita, which is the point of this anuchet. It's prapanchatitatvam. Vaikuntha is beyond the material creation. It's a whole different thing. That is the Vaishnavam padam, the place of Vishnu, Vaikuntha. Continuing, yataham rudro bhutva adhikaritaya vartamanaha vibhuda devas cha adhikarika kalatye. Is it a longa? Let's see the original verse in our BBT edition. I'm doubting the spelling of this one word, kala. 24:29. Kala. It's kala. Kala atiye. So kala is the word, not kala. Kala is the material world as a partial expansion of the Supreme Lord. Kala. Okay. Similarly, I, becoming Rudra, Lord Shiva is talking, he says he becomes Rudra, living in my appointed position, and the very intelligent ones, the Vibhudas, that means the demigods, being established as appointed authorities, I, Lord Shiva, originally he's a transcendental person, but he becomes a demigod. He assumes the role of a demigod, the destroyer. He's an appointed authority, and all the demigods are appointed authorities, adhikarika. We will come there, Vaikuntha, when our time is finished, at the end of our period of authority. The only thing is, it's not time. I translated it as time, but it's not kala, it's kala. Can I make a note? I think I made a mistake by saying time, when our time is finished. Oh. Yes, ma'am? Yeah, when Kalatya is with the destruction of the material world, which is equivalent to saying when our time is finished. Not really, because demigods rule for one manvantara. Okay, then the world is partly destroyed. So it's equivalent, but the word is not kala, it's kala. I'm just making a note of that. Time is not really what is the word. Okay. Anyway, we will come there. I, Shiva, and the other demigods will come, at least some of us, will come to Vaikuntha at the end of our period of authority. Demigods rule for the reign of one manvantara usually. They may continue to live, or at least the sages. Sages are very long-lived, so they may live more than one manvantara. But if they're one of the saptarishis in a particular manvantara, they're out of office after that. Even if they don't die, they're not officially a saptarishi anymore. The demigods generally die. They only live that long. Rishis live longer than demigods on the average. Anyway, We, demigods, beginning with Shiva is talking, will come there, Vaikuntha, when our time is finished, or when our term is finished, at the end of our period of authority. Lingabhangi, adhikaranti. Okay, when the adhikar, the office, term of office is finished. Lingabhangi sati, or actually, when our subtle bodies are destroyed. That's liberation. Someone can die, but he takes his subtle body to the next body. When he's liberated, the subtle body is destroyed. When our subtle bodies are destroyed, we'll go to Vaikuntha. Okay? The demigods, you may question, can you really claim that, that you're going to go back to Vaikuntha? Not all demigods do, even when they die. But when their subtle bodies are destroyed, then they or anybody else will go back to Vaikuntha. Yavad adhikaram avastitir adhikadhikanam iti nyayena. Now, this is in accordance with the statement of the Vedanta. There's a sutra. The appointed demigods, the adhikarikas, remain in their positions for the duration of their authority. That means they can't, even if they earn liberation, they can't take it until they finish their terms of office. And if they don't earn liberation, then even after their terms of office, they're not going to go back to Godhead. But if they earn liberation, they have to wait until they're done being demigods. One reason why not to become a demigod, because you can't quickly go back to Godhead. The appointed demigods remain in their positions for the duration of their authority. Okay, end of the Anuchid. Sri Rudra, Sri Pracheta Saha. One second. This verse was spoken by Sri Rudra to the Prachetas. Let me read the commentary, then we'll open for questions. Commentary, one paragraph here. There are all kinds of positions of power and enjoyment available in the material creation. But to attain any of them, one has to work hard and wait for the fruition of his work. Eager candidates for superiority, ready to strive for many lifetimes, can even become lords of creation, up to the position of Brahma. If you really work hard, you can become Brahma. By practice of pure devotional service, the most fortunate of these demigods can graduate to liberation from birth and death, which must be postponed until their terms of duty are finished. Beyond birth and death, they discover the Supreme Lord's homeland, Vaikuntha. Simple devotees on the earth, however, are even more fortunate than the great demigods. They can conclude their obligations quickly and enter Vaikuntha with little trouble. Okay. So, better to be a human being and finish your business quickly. Any questions, comments?
Previous, sometime back you mentioned Vaikuntha is eternal, it's not created even by God also.
Yes.
Also we made a statement that Baladev expands himself into that.
Yes, there is a relationship of being an expansion, but it's eternal. It doesn't start at any time. It's that expansion is always happening. It always was happening. So it's still not a creation at any time. Everything that exists is an energy of the Supreme, is expanding from Him. Everything is. But some things are eternal still, don't have a beginning. Okay. Yes?
You may not be directly, but just from curiosity. One time I had a class, a devotee mentioned that the demigods, they know that human birth in Bharat Varsha is very precious. But he said they can't come because they are still in the office.
Yes.
So is it like they cannot get liberation till they finish their job? Is it also they can't be human being or committing suicide being like they cannot come
here? You mean?
Like can they explain
that? I don't think demigods can get away with committing suicide somehow, because they're living in subtle bodies. Yeah, they don't have gross bodies like us. So I don't know if suicide is feasible on the heavenly planet. So I don't know if it could be accomplished.
They can become human beings immediately.
Well, they can get themselves cursed. That happens sometimes. Demigods curse each other to take birth on the earth. So Yamaraj got cursed by a rishi. And it was a good opportunity for him. He was able to take birth as Vidura and be with Krishna in his pastimes. Then he went back to finish his office. He didn't get liberated. But he got a chance to be with Krishna for 125 years. One way to get down here is to get yourself cursed. Yes?
I heard Shiva Tattva is different from Jiva Tattva.
Yes.
And it's written in commentary here that Jiva can be Brahma and Shiva also.
Where? Let's check.
Commentary.
My commentary? Oh, I'm sorry. Where exactly?
Second sentence
of what does the sentence begin with? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong. I'm not looking at the right paragraph. Is it for 61 or 60? 61. The commentary or the text?
Yeah.
Commentary. Second sentence. Ego candidates.
Yes.
Can become lords of creation up to the position of Brahma.
And Shiva.
No, it doesn't say that.
Sorry, it's here.
Oh, I don't have it. That means I edited it out. It maybe it had been there before, but it's not there now. It says that, Shiva?
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't say here. That means that that was caught as a mistake and removed already. Okay, so the book is not going to show and Shiva.
I have one more question.
Yes.
Shiva is asking, and he is including himself in the category of demigods.
Okay.
So how can we understand that?
Well, what category are you going to put him in? He's not God. He's not an ordinary being. He's something unique. So for convenience sake, we can put him together with the other demigods. He performs the role of a demigod. He's involved in the maintenance and creation and destruction of the material world. So he's, although he's not in the Jiva, and all the other demigods are, still he's functionally a demigod, so he can be included in that category. We talk about all the great demigods, including Lord Shiva, so many times. All the demigods came to offer prayers to Narayan, headed by Shiva and Brahma. So he's called a demigod lots of times. But he's different, he's not a Jiva. He's a demigod because he's involved in universal affairs.
Means he has some particular time to work as a demigod.
Well, yeah, the other demigods, their bodies are destroyed when they die. Lord Shiva's body is eternal, so he reincarnates in the same body. He reappears in the same body in the next age. He doesn't change bodies. Even Vishnu changes bodies. Lord Vishnu appears in different forms. Lord Shiva in his various incarnations always appears in the same form. When Lord Shiva appeared, I'll get to you in a second. When Lord Shiva appeared as a fisherman, he was the same Lord Shiva, the same body. He was just disguised, dressed up like a fisherman. He doesn't change his shape and then appear in different forms of life. And that body's eternal. You know, he may act as a demigod during one manvantara and then come back in the next manvantara, but it's the same Lord Shiva. He's just reappearing.
Yes? There is Shambhu, who is in Vaikuntha, as one for Shiva, and there is a Rudra, who is in the
You can call like that, yeah. Although the names are very often mixed up.
Is it the same personality?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. It's a complicated. There's an original Lord Shiva who's actually a form of Vishnu. From him expands Shambhu, the original Shiva. And practically speaking, Lord Shiva as such doesn't exist in the spiritual world. because he has material contact. There is no material contact in the spiritual world. So to be Shiva as such, he has to exist only in the material world. The Shiva in the spiritual world is his original, but not exactly the same. And then Lord Shiva has partial expansions called Rudras, 11 Rudras. They're his partial expansions. But he also has as many incarnations, 64 or many more incarnations, which are exactly Lord Shiva, complete, in the material world. So it's complicated. Also, the Brahma Samhita describes Shambhu, not in the spiritual world, but as contained in the glance of Mahavishnu in the causal ocean. And that's called Shambhu. So the use of the names is a little mixed up. It's, Shambhu in the spiritual world, but there's also Shambhu in the material world.
So
you
could say that the name Shambhu is interchangeable?
More or less. You can say Shambhu is the original, but sometimes the word's used differently. Yes?
Why devas are called Amaras?
Because the Vedas talk like that. Apama somam amrita abhuma. We have drunk the soma juice and become immortal. That idea is there, but it's not exactly correct. Demigods aren't immortal. But people think they are immortal, and sometimes they think they're immortal. And so they're called Amaras. It's a euphemism. It's not exactly true. They're not immortal.
Maybe it's because occultism is out of the duration of life, their life is here alone, therefore it's practically immortal.
Yeah, it's practically immortal, practically forever they live. But also, the kind of death they suffer is not the same as ours. They don't suffer death the way earthlings do. Yes?
What is the technical term, Pramancha? What is the difference between Pramancha and Pramancha?
Well, technically, we've discussed this before. Technically, Pramancha is the process of multiplying by five. And that's five elements, five Mahabhutas, have to mix up with each other. And Lord Vishnu enters the Mahatattva and arranges for that, or enters the elements, and arranges for them to combine so the creation can proceed. That's called Prapancha. It's a particular process initiated by Lord Vishnu himself. But then by extension, the whole material creation is also called Prapancha. Until that mixing up of the five elements happens, the creation can't go any further than just separating the elements. But the elements can't combine to make anything until they're mixed up with each other. As long as they remain completely, each of the elements completely separate, they can't combine. So Lord Vishnu arranges to put a small fraction of each element into each of the other elements. And that's called Prapancha. Okay. Yes?
You said that there's no any connection between the material world and Vaikuntha. It's not any. You said that.
No connection.
Vaikuntha Loka is completely free from this prapancha.
Oh yeah, that's the point of this anuchet.
And then how can we understand that here is like Govardhan and Vrindavan is on the home, it's on the earth, right? How can we understand this is separate?
Then you have to understand that Goloka on the earth is not the spirit. It's not the material world. It's a spiritual world. It's like an embassy of the spiritual world. If you take shelter in the embassy, you can get asylum. The police can't arrest you if you're taking shelter in some other country's embassy. So in the spiritual world, if you're actually taking in the holy abode, the holy dham on the earth, Vrindavan, Mayapur, if you take shelter, then the material energy cannot affect you. To all extents and purposes, you're in the spiritual world. And there isn't any real mixing. There's just superimposition. The spiritual abode is there. But there is a film of material energy covering it, on top of it. And the conditioned souls come to the holy abode by various mechanical conveyances. they, you know, take a train ride or a taxi, and they enter the holy abode. But they are just sitting on top of the, it's like they're sitting on the platform in the train station, never leave the train station. That's not really taking a visit. If you just sit in the train station. So like that, they enter the abode, the Dham, but they're just sitting on top of it. They don't actually make contact with the spiritual realm if they're in material consciousness. But this material and spiritual worlds remain separate even when there's this superimposition. One is sitting on top of the other, but there's no real contact. Totokogen?
How is the material world divine spiritual?
How is it
divine but not spiritual?
The material world is divine?
The aviation.
Oh. Because the material energy belongs to Deva. It originates from Deva. It is the creation of God, and it's the property of God. And that can be called Daiva, because it belongs to Deva and comes from Deva. So the material energy is also Daiva, because it belongs to God. Okay. I wouldn't call it Divya, wonderful. It's not wonderful, but it belongs to God. Okay, we can continue the next anuccheda. The next idea, the next reason for Vaikuntha being accepted as transcendental, tato askalanam, that there is no fall down from there. Okay, this is the controversial one. But I don't think Jiva Goswami gets involved in the controversy. You can see what he says. He doesn't get involved in any controversial interpretation here. That there is no fall down from there, Vaikuntha. Ato vibhutim mama maya chitam aishvaryam ashtangam anupravittam shriyam bhagavatim chaspruhayanti bhadram parasya mete shnuvate iloke nakarhichin matparak shantarupe Nakshyanti no nibisho lady haiti yesha maham priya atma sutascha sakha guru surido daiva mishtam. This was spoken by Kapiladev to his mother. That there is no fall down from there. Kapiladev says, after this, they have no desire for the opulences acquired on the strength of my mercy, for facilities for sense gratification, for the eight mystic perfections which come to them automatically, and even for the all auspicious perfections derived from developing their relationships with the Supreme Lord. Like by developing your relationship with Krishna, with Vishnu, you can attain a place on his planet. You can get a form like his. You can share his powers. You can get a body that looks like his. These are the perfections. But after becoming Krishna conscious, the devotees don't want even this. They don't even want these Vaikuntha perfections. Nonetheless, they enjoy all of these in my world. They don't ask for it, but they're brought to Vaikuntha and they get all these benefits. In the world of complete peace, the devotees are never vanquished. And the unblinking Lord's weapon of time never seizes them. Time is one of the Lord's weapons. It's actually his real weapon. The other weapons are just external representations, but he actually does all the destroying by the force of time. When it's time for a demon to be killed, the Lord takes his club and bashes him on the head, but actually it's time that kills him. The time is up for the demon, so he's killed. And that weapon of time doesn't blink. Some other weapons may have blinking eyes, But time never blinks. It never, it's always got its eye on you at every moment. But these devotees are never vanquished. And the unblinking Lord's weapon of time never seizes them there in that world of complete peace. Because I am their beloved self, son, friend, spiritual master, well-wisher, and worshipable deity. That's Lord Kapiladev telling this to his mother. Commentary. When someone accidentally loses his pace while walking, that is called skullanam, tripping. Okay? This is, there's no skullanam. You don't slip and fall out of Vaikuntha. It is different from intentional deviation from one's path. If you walk off the road with, you know, because you decided to, that's not skullanam. That's not slipping or slide or tripping. That's something else. If you intentionally go off the path. To say there is no skullanam from Vaikuntha means that fall from the eternal abode is not possible without intending it as an act of rebellion against the supreme authority. Those who elect to remain faithful citizens of Vaikuntha need never feel fear falling. Others, the unfortunate few, include ourselves, the ones who had decided to rebel. I don't know if that's going to satisfy those who have another position. Yeah. That's the way, I don't know. That's the argument I present here. Jiva Goswami says there's no tripping, no slipping from Vaikuntha. All right, any questions at that point? Any arguments about this controversy? Yes, Dr. Govinda.
The author used exemplification to justify time.
Which? I'm sorry.
I'm saying the author used exemplification to justify time. Like he said, time blinks, or time doesn't blink.
Oh, you mean, time is not a person, so how, why would you say it blinks? Yeah, that's poetic. Time is supposed to be an impersonal energy. It's not ordinarily understood as a person. So it's poetically meaning that it's ever vigilant. Time doesn't let anybody get away. It's never off guard. Yes.
There is one concept. Spiritual world is kala shunya. You know time, and some say that time is a very influence, like different seasons come.
Yes.
So what is that time? Is not a person like that? You know, they are also impersonal in the spiritual.
No. There are no impersonal or mechanical energies, material energies in the spiritual world. So whatever energies are there are persons.
Yeah.
Hard for us to understand, but everything there. That's a real energy is a person.
There's time is a person.
It's past time. We talk about, in English, we translate lila as past time. How Krishna passes his time. You know, someone has no obligation. He just plays some game, you know, watches TV or plays solitaire. He has nothing to do. That's his pastime. How he passes the time. So Krishna passes his time. There is some time there to pass.
Yeah.
But it's not a strict controlling factor. Time doesn't control everything in the spiritual world. In other words, the time is what you want it to be.
Okay.
You know, I really enjoyed it this morning. I'd like it to be this morning again. You can do it. You can turn the clock back and enjoy the morning again. The time doesn't have to go in whatever direction you want it. Even the devotees can make the time go whatever direction they want it to go in and repeat it as many times as they want. So it's, the time is not a controlling force. It's a different kind of time. Yes?
Yes.
Right. But someone may argue, a non-devotee might argue, that you're so absorbed in Krishna that, you know, it's a miracle you don't fall on your face all the time. You're not paying attention to anything practical. But we understand that actually devotees are not in oblivion, they're not, you know, in a cloud, you know, unaware of, they're actually, when you absorb yourself in thought of Krishna, you're actually more in touch with reality, not less. And you're much less likely to slip if you're absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But in addition to that, if you're in Vaikuntha, then you can't slip. Is it contradicts?
Yeah, that when you absorb the relationship with Krishna, you can't fall down.
Yes.
And what Prabhupada says, we're once there. That's why he says we must go back.
Right, but does that contradict? It's just looking at it from a different point of view. I think... Well, okay. What Kapila Dev is talking about here is pure devotees. Not just the ones who were fallen and became perfect, but also the ones who always were perfect. So those who never left Vaikuntha, they're like this. They're always thinking about Krishna in some relationship with themselves, and therefore they, you know, there's no question of them falling down. And a person who was fallen but recovered and went back to the spiritual world, also he's always thinking of Krishna. So it describes him also. I don't see how that doesn't seem to be a contradiction to what Prabhupada says. We're not saying, it doesn't contradict the fact that we were with Krishna before we fell. It's just describing, for those who fall and then recover their spiritual nature, it's describing what happens after they recover, that they don't fall down. The question of how they managed to fall down in the beginning, that's still unanswered, that's not touched. Jiva Goswami is not dealing with that controversy here. How could we have ever fallen into the material world? I think if you look through all the sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami doesn't answer that question. Yes. Well, actually, the statement about Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jiva Dharma that we should not speculate on this question. That is beyond our ability to understand. And that we'll actually cause ourselves, we'll damage our spiritual life by speculating on it. He warns us not to speculate about something we can't understand. And Jiva Goswami doesn't touch the issue. How did we ever come down here? It's not normally understandable until we go back to the spiritual world and we gain our complete consciousness. Yes. Yes. We turn away from him. By our choice, we choose to turn away from him. How do we do that?
How do we allow it?
How does Krishna allow it?
How do we want to
How? Well, the thing is, as far as I understand, our love must be voluntary, and therefore we have to be given the autonomy, the freedom to choose. Krishna builds into us the ability to rebel against him. And when we choose not to rebel, then that's real love. But if we weren't able to rebel, then the love would be forced. He wants us to freely choose to love him. So he gives us the ability to rebel. And, you know,
It's like you're told, don't touch that box. Don't touch it. Don't eat that apple on the tree. And we just, that curiosity just gets us, and we have to try it. So we try rebelling against Krishna. I don't know if that's the reason. It's not just curiosity, but for some stupid reason, we take advantage of our freedom to choose the wrong thing, and we do it. That's not traceable in our present condition. Why did we do that? We can't remember. It may have been different for different people, the reason why we chose to rebel. You want to be Krishna? Imitate. That's likely, yes. That's a typical reason. We want to be Krishna. Anyway, not easy to answer. Okay, but we're supposed to stop now. So we'll continue this tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah.